بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا وحبيبنا حبيب إله العالمين محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين. ولا تحسبن الذين قتلوا في سبيل الله أمواتا بل أحياء عند ربهم يرزقون. With the blessings of Imam Hussein عليه السلام. And with the help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now we would like to see how can we give some depth to our faith. Yesterday we discussed a bit about gateways to deeper faith, like humility in heart, gratefulness, and to be a Hanif like Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now let's talk from the basics. First of all, what is faith? This is the first question. The second question, which inshallah I will discuss tomorrow night, is why should we give some depth to our faith? Isn't our faith enough? Isn't it enough to take us to paradise, inshallah? And I'm sure it is enough for all of you to take us to paradise. So why should we try to make it better, to give it more depth? And thirdly, how should we do that if we come to the conclusion that it's essential that even if one moment is left from our life, we have to try to give more depth to our faith, then how should we do it? Now, let's begin from very basic understanding that all of us have, and that is the difference between Islam and Iman. All of you, I'm sure, are aware of the difference between Islam and Iman. Islam is when we acknowledge and confess the faith. Iman is when we learn and believe it in our heart. In the years after Hijra, some Bedouins, after the Prophet had conquests here and there, some Bedouins came to Prophet claiming that they had faith. And by that claim, they wanted, first of all, to oblige the Prophet, and secondly, to ask Prophet to give them some share of something. Now, the Quran says, قَالَتَ الْأَعْرَابُ آمَنَّا قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلِ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. The Bedouins come and say, we have faith. Tell them, you do not have faith. You have just submitted. You acknowledge that Prophet, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the messenger of God. You have acknowledged that. But the faith hasn't yet entered into your heart. So, what we understand from this verse is that Islam is to do with the appearance, outward manifestation of what we do, what we say. I say the Shahadatain, I'm a Muslim. But what is in my heart, that's faith. It may be there, it may not be there. Usually, these people who come to convert, and we have many of them, alhamdulillah, in UK who want to convert for different reasons, I tell them that conversion is just like entering a university. When you enter university, it doesn't mean that you have graduated from the university. It means that you are now allowed, you are admitted to the university to study to get the graduation, inshallah. When you acknowledge faith, or acknowledge the Shahadatain, it means that you have now entered the fold of Islam. Islam now owns you as a member. However, that doesn't mean you own Islam now yet. Not yet. You need to learn about Islam. You need to practice gradually what you say, what you do, the salat, the fast, all these things, find their root and meaning in your heart. This is the same about Muslim-born members of the community as well. You know, when we are born in a Muslim family, of course, we all follow our parents. If we are good children, we follow our parents, we go to mosque and we pray and fast. This is Islam. This is Islam. However, when we grow, we come to the age of puberty, we come to rational understanding, then we ask questions. What are these things that I'm doing? Is it right? Is it wrong? Then every born Muslim comes to that point of conversion, to that point of iman, that they have to believe in whatever they do. And therefore, iman is one level above Islam. Islam is just to acknowledge, just to follow, just say, okay, we accept. And iman is to find the meaning of it in the heart. This is what Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam said to Sama'at ibn Mihran, that Sama'at, there's difference between Islam and iman. Islam is ma alayhi zahirun nas. What people say, confess, is Islam. Whatever, but however, iman is huwa al-huda ma yathbutu fil qalb min al-islam. It's guidance. Whatever of Islam which confirms, is established in the heart, it is faith. فَالْإِيمَانِ يُشَارِكُ الْإِسْلَامِ فِي الظَّاهِرِ. Iman and Islam in manifestation are the same thing. وَالْإِسْلَامِ لَا يُشَارِكُ الْإِيمَانِ فِي الْبَاطِنِ. But in the depth of the heart, Islam and Iman, Islam does not share with Iman. Iman should, is something very different. It should be added to Islam. So fair enough. Islam is what we confess. We usually are born as Muslims. We go around and say that we are Muslims. We fast, we go to Jummah and all these things. But if we really believe in these things and feel the sweetness of what we do, that is iman, that is faith. It gradually comes and strengthens in our heart. Fair enough. However, let's examine this verse. قالت الأعراب آمنا. Let me now confuse you. قالت الأعراب آمنا قل لم تؤمنوا ولكن قولوا أسلمنا. The Bedouins came and said, we have faith. Say, no, not yet. You have just confessed, but Iman will gradually enter your hearts. Now, then what is this dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam at the old age when he was building the Kaaba with his son Ismail? He says, ربنا واجعلنا مسلمين لك ومن ذريتنا أمة مسلمة لك. يا الله, make me and my son Ismail two Muslims. Now, this is a bit confusing, isn't it? We see Islam is that very bottom of faith, just the entrance, the gateway. And here, Ibrahim, after passing all those difficulties, becoming Khalil and becoming Nabi and becoming Imam, now he says, my God, make me a Muslim and my son Ismail. And from our progeny, a group of, you remember we talked about Ummah last night? Ummah doesn't mean necessarily a nation. And from our progeny, a group which are Muslim, which are Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad alayhi salam. There is no doubt about that. So, that means Islam has a bottom, has a ceiling. It's not the case that Islam has one meaning, one level. It has levels. In the same way, faith has different meanings. إنما المؤمنون الذين آمنوا بالله ورسوله وإذا كانوا معه على أمر جامع لم يذهبوا حتى يستأذنوا. مؤمنون are those who believe in God and the Messenger, and when they are in a public affair with the Prophet, in a public mission, they don't just leave, ask permission. This is a degree of iman, of course. This is the degree of iman. I think all of us would have that if, for example, the Prophet, peace be upon him, would have called us. Not the Prophet, even if an imam or a community leader calls us for a mission, we go there, and if we want to leave, we ask permission. It's rude to not to do that. Now, look at this verse. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Mu'minun are those who, when Allah is mentioned, their hearts tremble. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Mu'minun are only those who are humble in their prayers. Now it shows that there are differences in level as well. So when I say about giving some depth to our faith, it means that we want to go from one level to another level. Wherever we are, it doesn't matter whether we are at the level, at the very, very high level of faith, or at the very low level of faith. The important thing is that we move one step forward. Inshallah, with the blessing of this Muharram, we can move one step forward. There is an anecdote. They say that once a sheikh was going to recite in Minbar. He went at the Minbar, and before he started, one of the authorities of the mosque took the loudspeaker and said, would I ask everyone to come please one step forward where you are, stand up, and come one step forward so that those who come later on could come in. Apparently this is... Apparently I said it on behalf of the MC anyhow. Now, the person, I'm not going to do this, don't worry. The person who was sitting on the minbar took the loudspeaker and said, send a salawat, that's it, I just wanted to say that. And I don't need to say anything more. I just wanted to explain tonight, 1 hour, wherever you are, whoever is sitting where, is standing where, just come one step forward, that's it. It means that, for example, if I am at level 6 of faith, I just go one step forward. If I am at level 7 of faith, 1 of faith, 100 of faith, you see, to be stagnant is bad. To be moving is always good. To improve is always good, wherever we are. Now, we want to improve in faith, and we want to move from one degree to another degree. What are these degrees? What are the degrees of Islam? What are the degrees of Iman that we can move from where we are to a higher station? First of all, we have to recognize where we are, where we are standing, and then to locate the next station, the next stop, move towards that next stop, and then from there find another. You know, faith is like a torchlight that it only enlightens, it only lights your way when you move forward. You cannot see with it far away unless you walk and you go. يَوْمَ تَرَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَسْعَى نُورُهُمْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبَأَيْمَانِهِمْ. On that day, when the light of mu'minun moves, they see in front of them to the extent of the light that they have. And that light should be here. We should take it from here. That light doesn't come from there. يَوْمَ يَقُولُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ وَالْمُنَافِقُونَ انظُرُونَا نَقْتَبِسْ مِن نُورِكُمْ. Those who lived in Muslim community but were munafiq, they are now all together on mahshar. They call upon their friends, their Muslimun, just wait for us so that we walk in the light of your noor. The angels tell them, you cannot do this, it's not possible. قِيلَ ارْجِعُوا وَرَاءَكُمْ فَالْتَمِسُوا نُورًا. Go back, bring life, bring nur from the life of that world. So the more light we have in our heart, the easier we travel on the Day of Judgment. I will talk about that tomorrow night, inshallah. Now let me talk about a couple of narrations in this regard, about how we have to move forward and what are deeper levels of faith. First, let me give a hadith from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam. This hadith is in Al-Kafi, Ali ibn Ibrahim al-Qummi rahmatullah alayhi, from his father Ibrahim ibn Hashim, from a very, very famous Sunni scholar, Sufyan ibn Uyayna. This man is very famous. He was an expert of hadith, and he actually collected hadith from all scholars, including our sixth Imam. And our sixth Imam actually gave him big advice on certain occasions. He was young at that time. Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq was old. He was very young at the time. Now, one of the things that Imam alayhi salam mentioned to him was the tafsir of this ayah of Surah Al-Mulk. تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير. And he says, الذي خلق الموت والحياة لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. He created life and death so that he tries you who is best in action. أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Who is best in action? Now this verse needs some explanation. Inshallah, maybe tomorrow night I will explain about that a bit more. But Imam says, لَيْسَ يَعْنِي أَكْثَرُ عَمَلًا. When he says ahsanu amala, best in action, doesn't mean more in action. Who does more salat? Who does more fast? Who gives more charity? Walakin aswabakum amala, the one who does things with best quality. This is aswab, best quality. Okay, what is best quality? What is aswab? And then Imam explains alayhi salam, wa innama al-isaba, these good qualities, khashyatullah. Khashyatullah. First of all, is to have khashya, to have fear of Allah in the heart. Second, wa niyatu sadiqa, that whatever you do it with right niyyah, with right intention. Third, wal hasana, whatever you do, it should be qualified, it should be defined as good. Not you do something evil in your mind and intention, and then you want others to regard it to be good, or you want to somehow explain it away, or things like this. These three, khashyatullah, wa niyatu sadiqa, wal hasana, makes one to be qualified for ahsanu amala, alladhi khalaqa al-mauta wal-hayat liyabluwakum ayyukum ahsanu amala, to see which one of you is best in action quality. Now, there is a more amazing hadith from Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. To Kumail ibn Ziyad. You know, Kumail was a huge personality. We recite Dua Kumail, of course, as a matter of course, in our majalis. But this is not the only heritage of Kumail. He had huge heritage of knowledge, which has left for us from Amirul Mu'minin alayhi salam. And of course, we know that he was killed later on by Hajjaj ibn Yusuf. Many of these good people were killed by Hajjaj ibn Yusuf in Iraq. Imam alayhi salam says, Ya Kumail, this hadith is very beautiful, listen. Ya Kumail, laysa sha'an an tusalli wa tasum wa tatasaddaq. The issue is not to pray or fast or to give charity. At least for you, that's not the issue. For many people, it may be an issue. For many people, they may miss their salat, but for you, of course, it's very different. The issue for you is not to pray and fast and to pay charity, to give charity. أَشَّأْنُ أَن تُصَلِّي بِقَلْبِ النَّقِي. You know what is the issue for people like you? Is that when you pray, your heart should be pure. We cannot make our heart pure while you stand and say, Allahu Akbar, now I want to make my heart pure. It's not possible. Some people come and ask, what should we do when we pray, our mind flies here and there, isn't it? As soon as we say, Allahu Akbar, we start our journey. And as soon as we say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh, we land back in our sajjada. Okay, why is that so? Why cannot we concentrate? Why cannot we focus? We cannot just switch off and on ourselves. If we are focused towards Allah outside salat, okay, we are doing our business, everything, but our heart is pure towards Allah, then we say, when we start saying Allahu Akbar in salat, then of course the focus would come. The humility, humbleness which is needed, khushu', which is the most important pillar of salat, it comes. Otherwise, it's not possible. So, إِنَّمْ أَشَّأْنُوا أَن تُصَلِّي بِقَلْبٍ نَقِيٍّ وَأَمَلٍ إِنْدَ اللَّهِ مَرْضِيٍّ. And you pray, I want to judge the quality of salat, your salat. Now, suppose I am the angel who judges, who measures. You know, we have two things on the Day of Judgment. One is hisab, the other is mizan. Hisab is the number of what we do. Number of rakaat of salat we have done, number of currency of any country we have given in charity, number of days we have fasted. That is very good, that's easy. They just add it up together. But there is a more difficult station there, and that's mizan. This should be weight. Okay, what's the weight of your salat? What's the weight of your fast? That weight is very important. Now, it's not the case that, for example, the angels who are qualifying your salat, suppose there is such a thing, they only look at your heart in salat. No, what you did outside salat. I just, for example, wronged someone, swore at someone, did something wrong to someone, and now I have come to salat and say, Allahu Akbar. No. This is not amalun indallah marzi. Not that salat. What you do outside salat should be a matter which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the important thing. We gossip behind each other. We really think gossiping is an easy thing. وَتَحْسَبُونَهُ حَيَّنًا وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. You regard it to be easy, but with Allah, this is great. Now we gossip, and then we come, we start our salat, Allahu Akbar, okay, what is the amalun عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مَرْضِي outside salat? It's the amal which actually brings wrath of Allah. Sometimes I think, for example, as Muslims, sometimes we are very meticulous in halal and haram. Even, for example, if there are 5 grams, 50 grams of some sale, we give less to someone, we try to compensate for it. It's good, that's good business. That's fair business, that's very good, Allah likes it. But then when it comes to people's grace,
to people's social status, to people's respect. We don't respect it at all. We just dent it as we wish. We talk about it the way we want, not knowing that this one is even more dangerous than the other one. So, وَعَمَلًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مَرْضِي. So, أَشَّأْنُوا أَنْ تُسَلِّي بِقَلْبٍ نَقِيٍّ وَعَمَلًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مَرْضِي وَخُشُوءٍ سَوِيٍّ. And the fear which penetrates all your affairs in your life. That type of fear. Then that is, of course, what you have to try to do, Ya Kumail. So, Ya Kumail, لَيْسَ الشَّعْنُ أَن تُصَلِّي وَتَصُومُ وَتَتَصَدَّقُ أَشَّعْنُ أَن تُصَلِّي بِقَلْبٍ نَقِي وَعَمَلٍ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مَرْضِي وَخُشُوءٍ سَوِيٍّ. Okay. Now, what is the benefit of giving depth to our faith? I don't want to frighten you by these words. You just do whatever is wajib on you, inshallah Allah will take all of us to paradise. This is what the Prophet has promised us. That you just follow the Prophet in what is wajib, Allah will take us to paradise. So if that's the case, what is the purpose of deepening our faith? Inshallah, tomorrow night I will try to explain that in a more elaborate way. If you send a couple of salawat, I just open my extended memory. I want to recite a couple of hadiths. Okay, for the Masa'ib, I want to recite two hadiths. One from a Sunni source and the other from a Shi'i source. From the Sunni source, this is reported by Ahmad ibn Hanbal and Ibn Abi Shayba and Ibn Asakir. From someone called Abdullah ibn Naji, whose father reported to him, and his father safara ma'a Ali ibn Abi Talib wa kana sahiba mithratih. He traveled to Safin with Imam Ali, and he was the chief butler of his army. That means he was in charge of water and sanitation, all these things that he had to look after the army. He was an official. He was a prominent person in the army. He was traveling with Imam Ali. فَلَمَّا هَذَا نَيْنَوَى وَهُوَ مُنْتَلِقٌ إِلَى صَفِّينَ. When he was just passing from Nineveh, parallel to Nineveh, and this was on the way to Safin. نَادَى عَلِيٌّ صَبْرًا أَبَا عَبْدِ اللَّهِ صَبْرًا أَبَا عَبْدِ اللَّهِ بِشَدَّةٍ. Imam Ali started to cry, Ya Abu Abdullah, have patience. Ya Abu Abdullah, have patience. Besides, shut the Furat. I said, this man says, Man za Abu Abdullah? Who is this Abu Abdullah that you are talking about? He said, the Imam said, Dakhaltu ala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of course, we add wa alihi wa sallam because this is a Sunni hadith. وَعَيْنَاهُ تَفِيضَانَ. I once entered the room of the Prophet, the house of the Prophet. He was crying. قُلْتُ يَا نَبِيَ اللَّهِ أَغْضَبَكَ أَحَدٌ. I said, Ya Rasul Allah, has anyone angered you that you cry? Why your eyes are shedding tears? قَالَ بَلْ قَامَ مِنْ عِنْدِي جِبْرِيلَ قَبْلُ. He said, no. Just Jibreel left before you came. You came, Jibreel left. فَحَدَّثَنِي أَنَّ الْحُسَيْنِ يُقْتَلُ بِشَتِّ الْفُرَاتِ. He told me that Hussein will be killed beside the Furat. وقال هل لك أن أشمك من تربته. He said, do you want to smell his turba? Now, subhanallah, he's not yet martyred. And the Prophet says, do you want to smell his turba? قلت نعم. فمد يده فقبض قبضة من تراب. He brought me a handful of turab. فأعطانيها. As soon as my eye actually looked at it, I started to cry as well. There are things in this world that we are, of course, unaware of. And for these people of that knowledge, things are very different. Now, the hadith, which is from the Shi'i source, from Qutbuddin Rawandi, is from Abdullah ibn Abbas, rahmatullah. Abdullah ibn Abbas has done great service to Islam. We all have to be grateful to him. قال كنت مع علي بن أبي طالب عليه السلام في خروجه إلى صفين. I was with Imam Ali when he went to Safin. You know, Safin from Kufa towards the Safin, it passes through Nineveh, Karbala. When he called me, Ibn Abbas, أتعرف هذا الموضع؟ Ibn Abbas, do you know where is this place? I said, yes. He said, you don't know where is this place. If you knew كمعرفتي, like I know, لم تكن تجوزه حتى تبكى كبكى. You wouldn't have passed it unless you would cry like I cry. And then he started to cry for a long time, all his beards got wet, the tears shed on his chest. He cried so hard that all of us started to cry with him. وَهُوَ يَقُولُ أَوَّهُ أَوَّهُ صَبْرًا أَبَا عَبْدِ اللَّهِ. Ya Aba Abdullah, have patience. لا إله إلا الله. فَقَدْ لَقَى أَبُوكَ مِثْلَ الَّذِي تَلْقَى مِنْهُمْ. Your father have also been hit by them the way you are hit by them. So these are some reports about the land of Karbala and the way Amirul Mu'mineen, and these traditions are not just single traditions, there are many, many other traditions about when Imam Ali was passing by Karbala on his journey to Safin, he had such an occasion. Now, you know, Imam Hussein alayhi salam never wanted to go to Karbala. The reason why he was driven towards Karbala was Hurr ibn Yazid al-Riyahi. When they met, of course, Hurr said that I have come to arrest you and take you to Kufa. And Imam said that you cannot do that. If people of Iraq have reneged, if they don't want me anymore, I'll go back to Medina. Hurr said, no, I cannot let you go to Medina. My mission is to arrest you. Imam said, death is easier for you to arrest me and taking me to Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad. Of course, I will fight you if you try to do that. Now, Hur didn't want to fight the Imam alayhi salam. So he said, after long thought, he said, okay, let's do some compromise. My mission is not to fight you, it's to arrest you. And that gives me a leeway. I send a letter to Ubaydullah and say that Hussein would not comply. What should I do? Of course, if he was a rash man, he would have attacked and fought against Hussein. He said, what should I do? Because he didn't want to fight Hussein alayhi salam. He sent the letter. He knew that this takes a few days. And while the letter goes and comes back, let's make an arrangement, an agreement. We go a direction that neither goes towards Medina, nor goes towards Kufa. Because he wanted to take him to Kufa, Imam wanted to go back to Medina. We take a middle path. Imam agreed. And then they started this journey until they ended in the land which was called Karbala. And of course, that was a desert. There wasn't anything there at that time. When they reached there, the letter came back. A messenger came from Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad. And when he gave the letter to Hur. Hur read it. When Hur read the letter, of God knows what sort of feeling he had. The letter was this: أما بعد فجعجع بالحسين حين بلغك كتابي هذا. Make the affairs difficult for Hussein. Stop Hussein wherever he is. When my letter comes, ولا تنزله إلا بالعراء في غير خضر وعلى غير ما. And do not let him to camp in any village. Bring him down in the desert where there is no water, there is nothing. Now, Hur wanted to comply, of course. He hadn't repented yet. He said, Ya Abu Abdullah, this is my letter. And Ubaydullah has ordered me that you have to come down here. Imam looked around. There was nothing but rocks and sands and heat of the sun. He said, Wayhak, woe to you, we have women and children. Let us camp in one of these nearby villages in Ghaziriya, in Nainawa, in Shufayya. There are lots of villages here. Okay, we camp there, you come and surround us. Hur said, no, I'm sorry, I cannot do that. You have to come down here. Zuhair ibn al-Qain said, Ya ibn Rasulullah, let us fight them. These are few in number. They were about 1,000 men. We can tackle them now. If we do not fight them tomorrow, armies will come that we cannot tackle them. Please let us fight them now. Imam alayhi salam said, I do not begin the fight. Look, this is the man, this is the standard that Imam stands by. I do not begin the fight. It is Muharram, it is the Shahrul Haram. How can Imam start the fight? So what Imam asked, this is what I am reading is from Irshad of Shaykh Mufid alayhi rahma. Thumma qala ahadhi Karbala. He said, is this place Karbala? Because of course no one knew what's the name of that place. فقالوا نعم يا ابن رسول الله فقال هذا موضع كرب وبلاء. This is the place of hardship and calamity. ها هنا مناخ ركابنا ومحط رحالنا ومقتل رجالنا ومسفك دماءنا. Our blood will be shed here, our men will be killed here. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. اللهم صل على محمد وآل طه.